You're listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Good day, podcast audience. This is your podcaster, Ken Hodge, and today co-hosting this show with me will be a gentleman out of Columbus, Ohio, by the name of Carl Sharp. It's important that you hear the message and you learn about the messenger, because hopefully you'll be seeing a lot more of him. Let's have a show today as we talk about zero tolerance and how it is, what it means, and how it is implemented in Columbus, Ohio. And as I always say, no post office is an island. If it's happening in Columbus, Ohio, I'm going to say it's happening in at least 50% of post offices around America. Let's have a conversation. Hey, good day, Carl. How are you today?
Good evening, Brother Hodge. I'm doing okay, man. Just hey, getting man. Off work.
Nice that you could stop by, man, because, you know, far too often, it is just becoming like commonplace that we start to, as mail handlers, just complain to each other. But again, we're going to put some information out on this podcast today that we are going to express or go into detail about what I think is a very unfair situation, and that is zero tolerance. Now, let me explain what I mean when I say unfair. I understand the policy. It is the application of that policy in Columbus, Ohio. That's the unfair part. And just for the benefit of my podcast audience, Carl Sharp does EEOs in Columbus, Ohio. And in fact, he takes that caseload from me, and we work very well together. So without further ado, what's your take on this zero tolerance coming out of Columbus right now?
That's a really bad situation because it doesn't apply to everybody. Per the policies, it's for all postal employees. They pick and choose how they want to apply that zero tolerance. It's very unfair. Very unfair to me. So it's very frustrating.
And for the benefit of the podcast audience, let me just read this statement. The Postal Service is committed to cultivating a positive and safe work environment that's free of threats, intimidation, bullying, and violence for all employees. And the reason I wanted to read that statement, because as we talk about Columbus, Ohio, one of the things that is just so mainstream is Columbus management. And particularly, I'm talking about their senior management, your senior MDO, feel as though they can intimidate you or attempt to intimidate you. They can yell, use not a good choice of words when they are talking to you, and they don't think that that violates the zero policy, zero tolerance policy. And nothing upsets or angers, I won't say upset, angers an employee more than you look at one of the senior managers on the floor yelling and acting childish, but yet you and another coworker get into a loud verbal altercation and you have to get walked out of the building. That's just a prime example of do as I say, not as I do.
Correct.
You know, when we talk about the zero tolerance policy, you know, there are reporting procedures by every district in every area that should be posted throughout the facility. Now, let me ask you a question, Carl. When we talk about Columbus, Ohio, and their unfair application of this policy, without naming names or going into some specifics, can you think of any examples where they just disregarded the zero tolerance just in order to put somebody out of work?
Well, I know one incident where an employee was just coming on the workroom floor, and he was told, who gave you permission to speak? And do you know I can walk you out the building anytime I want to? And matter of fact, get off my workroom floor.
When you start a conversation off to an employee, I don't care what your position is, who gave you permission to speak? Now, I know that somewhere in your management training, you were trained, that's not how you talk to people. And when you start a conversation with that kind of language, what you're doing is you are inciting that employee, hoping they say something out of line so that you can use your managerial authority and walk them out of the building. And let me tell you, that's what happens very often in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
Who gave you permission to speak? Get off my workroom floor. You see, when they write this nonsense on paper, they probably wrote that as, I didn't ask you to speak yet, or something to that effect. But if I'm an employee and my manager is talking to me, or I'm talking to that manager, and they look at me and say, who gave me permission to speak? I mean, you know, you just took a productive conversation and probably just terminated it, because I'm not going to speak to you anymore, because I'm aware of what you're trying to do. So when we talk about, again, getting back to zero tolerance, the post office, Columbus, Ohio, they like to use that zero tolerance and hook it up with the 16-5. If you look at the people who were walked out of work on what they call emergency placement, if you look at the number of people who were walked out, and then look at the number of people who were paid, you know, through grievance procedures, EEOs, I'm willing to bet you that number is in the 90s.
I bet it is, and it's a total waste of money.
Why would you, and now I have to fault headquarters a little bit on this, because I guess maybe they don't look at the bottom line that tight. But if you are consistently putting people out of work on nonsense emergency placement, you may keep them out of work. Some people have been out as much as 2-3 months.
It's crazy. It's unheard of, man.
It is. And then the file agreements, and everybody, well, not everybody, most everybody's getting compensated for being out of work. Now what that turns into me is just a punishment. Columbus management knows already that these people are going to get their money back.
Yeah, they know it.
But if I can create a hardship for you right now, this is the thought process, I believe, of Columbus management, that I'm going to do that. Never mind trying to rehabilitate or get you straight. Right now, it's just about, I got to prove a lesson to you. So I'm going to put you out the building, knowing I don't have good grounds to stand on, but I'm going to put you out the building, and now you're going to be without a check for maybe 2-3 paychecks. Now let's see how you squirm. And that seems to be the mindset of Columbus management in any organization, that's your mindset. You cannot be successful unless you're some super special force military squad. Yeah. Then maybe that'll work there, but not in the Postal Service.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, and to be an employee, to have witnessed that for myself a long time ago, of the same situation, that they know they can do certain things and get away with.
Now, when we talk about zero tolerance again, or even writing discipline, or even taking actions, you and I both are aware that there's this little thing called just cause.
Yes.
There's a thing called just cause, and there are different components that must be considered when you're looking at just cause. Just based on what you see, how many managers in Columbus, Ohio know what just cause is?
I don't think none of them do.
And you know what? I'm going to rephrase that. A lot of the supervisors know what it is, but they're afraid of the senior NDO, and maybe he don't know. So if he don't know, then it's understood that it's all going to be done wrong, because as he likes to say, nothing happens in this building that he don't make happen.
That's right. And he also said, whatever you do, no one's going to do anything about it.
See, and again, these are statements being made by management, and again, when you talk to your employees like that, or when I say employees, most times if Carl or I are addressing or having conversation with management, from my position, we're having conversation as advocates. So if I'm an advocate for someone, and the senior managers tell me, it doesn't matter what you do, nobody's going to change it or whatever. I mean, what's the point in having productive conversation? Whoever's in that position, just made it clear that it's my way or the highway, and it doesn't matter if my way's not correct.
Exactly.
Another thing they like to use, in fact, you know, as we stay on just cause, what are some of the components of just cause?
The first thing is, you know, it's a notice. Was the employee aware of they were doing something wrong? Which means that the employer must have clear rules of the conduct of the workplace that are either written or oral, including the consequences for violating such rules. So, some cases, however, may not be warranted as such requirement because they're sort of rigorous and commonly understood, such as drinking on the job, patient abuse, theft, and insubordination. Second thing, is the rule reasonable? Was the employer rule of order reasonable related to efficient and safe operations? The employer must not be arbitrary, capricious, or discriminatory and must be related to the employer's stated goals and objectives. The third thing, which is very important, is investigation. The management do investigate the discipline. So, to elaborate on that, a lot of times they just, because of their position, they just write you up and not even investigate or doing a thorough investigation. So,
and just before you move from investigations, folks, investigations pertain to injuries at work, discipline. Anything that they want to discipline you about, they have to have just cause. And part of just cause is investigations. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, as advocates, Carl and I do due diligence with trying to get these records so that we can position ourselves in a better position to represent employees. And what I find, again, is postal management, when you talk about investigations, there's a form called a 1769, if we're talking about accident investigations. There's codes on that form. So even if an employee gets a copy of that 1769 and see the codes on it, if you don't have that the front three pages that explain those codes, you don't know what that manager wrote. And most of the time, the manager don't even know what they wrote. So when we get back to investigation with respect to just cause, you have to understand what to look for, and you have to understand how to conduct investigations, because from what I see, postal management in Columbus, Ohio, they're not very well versed on it. All right, Carl. Thank you.
All right. So, number four, which is a fair and thorough investigation. Was the investigation fair and an objective? And that's kind of tricky because it's been done over and over in the past where it's not fair and objective at all. If I don't like this employee, well, I'm going to do you wrong no matter what. Instead of being fair and objective and see what actually happened, investigate the whole situation thoroughly. That does not happen. And plus, you know, the employer must conduct a fair and timely investigation. It must be respecting the employee's rights due to the due process and to the union representation. The investigation must be made objectively without a rush to judgment, which never happens.
In Columbus, Ohio, as soon as something happens, again, most of it's overturned, but I can already tell you where that's going to end up, because that's just how Columbus management thinks. Never about finding out what happened to correct the problem. It is always about find out who to blame and give them discipline.
Yeah. So number five is proof. Did the investigation produce substantial evidence or proof of guilt? So would you like to elaborate on that part a little bit?
Yeah, because it's so funny. There was a case not too long ago where they walked a man out of work and kept him out of work for a while, all because the senior NBO wanted it done. Now, they went through, and here's a good, actually that's a good example I'm about to give you, because I understand they went through the evidence and found no charge for him. All this time out of work, and everybody in their right mind knew he was only out of work because that was the requirement or the desire of postal management in Columbus, Ohio. So they went through that, found no proof, and again, another employee who's been out of work for months that the post office is going to give him back pay again. But you know what? Senior management in Columbus, Ohio don't really care because in their mind, they proved their point.
Number six, equal treatment. Were the rules and orders and penalties applied even-handedly without discrimination? You elaborate on that.
No, go ahead. You Russell, you take that one. You take that one.
It's been proven since I've been in the post office that has never been equal treatment as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Never.
And,
ever.
And that's why it's if you're going discrimination, it's very easy, or disparity in treatment. Most cases, it's very easy to prove that. And I'm only talking about Columbus, Ohio, because that's where I work right now. It's always easy to prove that, because somebody always got a side deal going that somebody else gets disciplined for doing the same thing.
Exactly. The rules must apply consistently but to all employees. The application cannot be discriminatory or selective. If other employees who commit the same offense are treated differently, there may be evidence of discrimination or what is referred as disparity treatment.
And again, you and I both know that's kind of where we make our bread and butter at when we represent people. And let me say this just to be honest I'm always honest with my audience. A lot of folks, man, that come across our desk, you probably should have been fired. Don't be mad at me for saying it. Be mad at yourself for not coming to work. Be mad at yourself for sleeping at work. So don't be mad at me for saying it. But your saving grace is when you don't come to work, a lot of the boss's friends don't come to work, and it's okay for them. See, that's not okay for myself or for Carl when we represent you.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you get brought back to work on a technicality, not because you deserve to, because the post office practices disparity in treatment to such a point that they have perfected it.
All right. So, also, if enforcement of a rule has been lax in the past, management cannot suddenly reverse course without first warning the employee tighter enforcement of the rule. Number seven, appropriate discipline and penalty. Was the penalty reasonable related to the seriousness of the offense and the past record? Would you like to elaborate on that, sir?
No, we're good. I'm rolling with you right now, because you know we have to fight them for progressive discipline.
Yeah. The degree of discipline must be related to the seriousness of the violation. For instance, an employee generally cannot be terminated for an isolated instance of tardiness. Migrating circumstances must be also be taken into account, as well as the employee's past record. The concept of progressive discipline is recognized as an integral part of just cause. This means the employer issues increasingly serious penalties for repeated violations, such as verbal warnings, written warnings, suspensions, and termination. However, some serious violations, in fact, may require harsher discipline from the outset.
So, again, Carl just went over seven key aspects of just cause. And let me tell you something. If you've got good union reps or good arbitrators, they're going to make the post office admit that they don't have just cause, or they didn't exercise, just cause. Somebody wanted something done. It didn't matter what they had to do to get it done. But because that somebody is in a senior management position, subordinate managers follow those crazy instructions just to have a little peace of mind at work. Hey, listen, I'm going to close out tonight with section 665 out of the Elm. Now, I'm not going to read this whole section, but I'm going to advise every postal employee, when you get a chance, download that Elm, Employee Labor Relations Manual, and make yourself aware of section 665. And 665, whenever they talk about conduct unbecoming or standards of conduct, or they're trying to pin this violation of zero tolerance on you, they always use 665. Now, let me tell you something about 665. 665, like for example, 665.11 talks about loyalty. Employees are expected to be loyal to the United States government and uphold the policies and regulations of the Postal Service. Listen to me, folks. Because you have a podcast, because you go on Facebook and you talk about actual events in your office. Don't let anybody think that you're not holding up loyalty to the Postal Service. Now, if you get on there and start making up stories, then shame on you. But if you're letting people know what's going on in your office, that's not a violation. We come down a little bit more in 665. We talk about behavior and personal habits. We talk about 665.21. Here's one that probably every postal manager should be guilty of. It is a criminal act for anyone who has taken charge of any mail to quit voluntarily or desert that mail before making proper disposition of the mail in court, according to Title 18 of the USC 1700 Code. So, I remember last year I had to send a letter to headquarters because they were intentionally holding Cole's mail. Now, guess what? They did an investigation and actually they found out that wasn't the case. But that's what I would consider a violation of 665.21. But nobody processes management. Management is always trying to process employees. Let's look at 665.23. And again, I'm coming right out of the Employees Labor Relations Manual, chapter 665, on Postal Service Standards of Conduct. Employees acting in an official capacity must not directly or indirectly authorize, permit, or participate in any action, event, or course of conduct that subjects any person to discrimination. Now, we talk about 665.24, very important, violence and or threatening behavior. I'm going to read this verbatim. The Postal Service is committed to the principles that all employees have a basic right to a safe and humane working environment. In order to ensure the rights, it is the unequivocal policy of the United States Postal Service that there will be no tolerance of violence or threats. Do you hear what I just said? There will be no tolerance of violence or threats by anyone at any level in the Postal Service. Similarly, there must be no tolerance of harassment, intimidation threats, or bullying by anyone at any level. So, as we bring this podcast to a close, first I want to thank Carl for coming by and sharing this information with you. As I always say to you, as information is put out, as you receive information, I mean, process it and then put it in effect. Education without application, we're all just wasting our time. And I'm not a big one on wasting time. So again, hear the information. And it takes a group of people sometime to stand together in order to correct a wrong. And I'm going to go on a limb right now and say the manner in which senior management in Columbus, Ohio addresses most of the employees, it's wrong. But nobody wants to stand up to it. Come on, let's be accountable and let's stand up for something. Or else we're going to fall for everything. Hey, Carl, any closing words before we shut it down?
No, you said it all, man. You said it all.
Hey.
Just thanks for having me.
And again, thank you for following the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Tell a phone, tell a friend that the podcast is back. Have a good day.